Always want to endeavor to be faithful to my post of duty. I think it would be good, those of us that love the Lord, to always be faithful to the Lord in everything. I was reading a little article the other day. It had to do with Abraham Lincoln and the Civil War. During the war, as the story goes, one of the Union soldiers, generals or commanders, said to Abraham Lincoln, he said, "You know, it brings me comfort to know that God is on our side." Abraham Lincoln responded, he said, "My comfort doesn't depend on me knowing that God is on my side, but that we're on God's side." He said, "That's what is important to me." It seems like there's more and more people today that are not on God's side. I was thinking about the scripture in the 6th chapter of John, where Jesus was telling all the disciples that were there at the time about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Some of them said that was a hard saying. They didn't understand it, but it was a hard saying. And it said from that time many of them walked away and didn't follow him anymore. I really have been concerned and burdened about souls. It seems like that when people are struggling with life, when difficulties and hard things come our way, people have a tendency just to stop doing the things that got them where they were. If I'm having struggles, if I have needs, it's not time for me to stop coming to service. It's not a time for me to stop following the Lord. I'm concerned today that there are many that are choking on the Word of God and they're falling away. The Bible tells us that in these days there would be a falling away, and surely we can see it. Part of that reason is people just not as diligent and determined and faithful to do what they're supposed to do. Jesus, I can't think of anything that would draw me into a place of worship than Jesus' response, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'll be there in the midst of them. Doesn't it mean something to you to know that Jesus will be here? If you and I are gathered in his name to worship him, you know, he didn't call Israel to be his children because they were the most people in the land. They were some of the fewest people in the land. But he called them, and he called them by name, and he loved them, and he followed them, and he blessed them, and he helped them, and their struggles, their battles, their trials, and their tests, and the things that the early church went through there in the wilderness, and even over in the land of Canaan, and God blessed them and brought them through. God was faithful to do what he said he would do. Is it too much to ask today for you and I to be faithful to do what God has asked us to do? Sometimes people might say, "Well, I just don't feel like it. Well, the burdens are so heavy and the things are so great around me, I can't make myself go to church. Can't make myself do this and do that." Folks, that's no time to stop following the Lord. That's no time to give up on God. God's blessed you and brought you to this day and to this time. And for that, every one of us ought to be grateful and thankful what God has done for us. But it seems like that's the nature of the thing and the time that we live in. When times get worse, it seems like people get more lax in their faith in their desire towards God. I think it would be wise for us to pay attention to that. I'd like to speak a little bit on wisdom today. Turn to the book of Proverbs, the first chapter. People today, you try to tell somebody something, and I know you've heard it many times, you try to tell somebody something and they say, I know. They already know. But what you're trying to do is to present something to their mind, to their thought that will help them, that will cause them to see things in a different way maybe or a different light. And so you try to tell them, you try to help them, and they say, oh, I know that. I already know all that. Well, if people already know that God is a great and a wrathful God, then it would seem to me, in my way of looking at things, that people would be running to God for their very lives. But I don't see that happening today. I don't see people running to God. It seems like there's a lot of folks out there that you just can't tell them anything. No matter how you want to help somebody, no matter, let me just bring it down to us with adult children. I don't mean any disrespect to our children. We love our children very much. But it seems like you just can't tell them anything sometimes. They're taking their own path. They're taking their own way. And everything seems like messed up in their lives. And you try to help them. You try to tell them. But you can't tell them anything because they're not going to accept it. They're not going to hear it. People are not hearing the word of the Lord today. Been thinking and mulling this over in my mind. You know, I don't know what it's going to take for people to get the help that they need, or if people are even going to change. There's a lot of folks that are not saved. They're probably going to leave this world that way. I don't know what they're waiting on. I don't know what they're looking for. I think about the man over there in Daniel, Belshazzar. He knew the history of his father. He knew all about his dad and how that he had lifted himself up and how that God had sent him out to the field and changed the very nature of him into a beast. And he knew all about those kind of things. And he knew that his dad, when the Lord restored him and he came back to his right mind, he worshiped the gods of heaven. You know, our people thinking, well, I'm going to wait. I want to do that. I want to get right. I want to live right. But I'm going to wait till God does something supernatural above and beyond just the ordinary in my life. I got news for those folks. God has a plan, and it's been in place for a long time. His plan is that he would send his son into the world. And his son would come and he would give us the gospel, the good news. And Jesus came and did that. And he said, what I give you, they're not mine, but they're my father's. I bring this straight from heaven and give it to lowly little man here on earth. And it's God's plan and it's God's design, folks, for people, for you and I to be saved. Through the plan of salvation, through the preaching and the teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you and I are waiting around this Belshazzar, I didn't finish my thought there. He was the son and he knew all the commandments of God, and he went and he got this idea in his mind that he sent to the temple and he took all the cups and the saucers and the glasses and everything from the temple that was dedicated to the work of God. And he took those things and he wanted to lift himself up and exalt himself up before all of his court and before all of the people so that he had them bring those cups and glasses into his castle there. And they set up and they drank and partied all night long, didn't they? He knew better than that. Folks, I'm convinced. I've been begging the Lord, Lord, what is it going to take? What is going to change people's minds, people's thoughts, people's hearts? Are they all just going to recklessly go on into eternity unprepared to meet God? If we're waiting around for the handwriting on the wall, folks, look around us today. Look at the condition of our country, the condition of our society. Look at the lifestyles that people are living today. Don't you see the handwriting on the wall? Belshazzar and his folks was having a great time that night until the Lord set the hand or the finger of a man's hand and he wrote on the plaster of the wall, the Bible says. And he wrote something up there that the king didn't even understand what it was he wrote. But I want to tell you something. It brought the fear of God on his heart because it says his knees trembled and he shook when he saw the writing of the finger of the man's hand. And he could not learn quick enough just what it is that was written up there on the wall. People waiting for something like that? Is there going to be some great supernatural thing they think is going to happen to them? Is God going to do something special? Folks, I say it again. His plan, his design is that the Word of God, the gospel, would be preached and go forth under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and people are to respond to that. It's not happening so much today, is it? You get a interesting, generally when a camp meeting is over, you ask someone if you wasn't there or even if you were there, you know what we're hearing today or seeing? Well, the word was good. God did his part, but there wasn't very much altar work. And I know, I've been around long enough to know now. I've been around the camp of the saints. I've been around our people. I know a lot of saints' children, families, and loved ones that are out of the ark of safety. And many of them go to those services. But it isn't affecting them. It isn't touching them. I don't know about you folks, but it's frustrating to me when I think about a soul going out into eternity lost needlessly. Because the Lord is still sending forth the word. He's still allowing it to be preached. They say we're still having good camp meetings. We had a good camp meeting down in Holly Hill. And I don't know that anyone got saved. Oh, there were some honest souls that were already saved, seeking more grace and more help and things like that at the altar. But I don't know of any of them that got saved. People are trifling with God today. And because people are trifling with God and not responding to what God is telling them, folks, He is withdrawing Himself. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. You can see that conviction is not there where it ought to be. You can see that people are careless about this thing. They got more important things on their mind than their souls. But I want to tell you this morning, there isn't anything more important than your soul. I don't care what it is you have to do. Today's Father's Day, they call it Father's Day. I woke up this morning and what I called it was the Lord's Day. This is the Lord's Day. And I want to rejoice and I want to be glad in it and I want to get to the house of God if it's all possible. Because it's the Lord's Day. Father's Day, something that they just came up with so they could sell more cards and candy and stuff. But folks, this is the Lord's Day. It's getting very serious to me as we get closer and closer to eternity and the end of time that people are just getting less and less affected. Conviction just doesn't seem to rest on the hearts of people today. No change. What do you see? What do you see in your children's life? Do you see anything changing or are they just going on from day to day? Still doing the same old thing. from day to day. Lord, help us. I didn't know I was going to say all this. But there's just, you just can't tell folks anything anymore. You can't reason with them. The Bible says over in Isaiah, come now and let us reason together. But you can't reason. People won't reason with God. They won't reason with you. They got more important things to do, places to go, sights to see. And their soul doesn't seem to be precious or important to them at all. You know, we have a fellow in the Bible. He got to that place, didn't he? He said he got, when he planted his crops, so much came in, he didn't have enough place to put it. So he said, I'm going to tear down my barns and I'm going to build bigger barns. That's what people are trying to do today. They're not thinking about their soul. They're not thinking about God. They're not thinking about eternity. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get more and more and more and more. And I'm just going to buy a bigger house and bigger cars and all the bigger, bigger, bigger. And I'm going to fill it up with things. But God was looking on, wasn't he? God says, tonight, your soul's going to be required. Don't think about that. They haven't had a Belshazzar experience. They haven't seen the supernatural finger of a man's hand writing on the wall saying, you are weighed in the balance and found wanting. Isn't that what it said? You're weighed in the balance. God is weighing people in the balance today, and many of them are found wanting. And saints, I'm talking to the church here today. I know you may think it doesn't sound like it, but I'm talking to the church today. Lord, help you and I that we can have conviction resting on our hearts as God deals with us and searches us and tries us, that we will respond. Let's don't be guilty of not responding to the Word, to the Spirit, to God. Said I wanted to read some scripture here. Proverbs, first chapter, 20th verse. Wisdom. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the opening of the gates, in the city. She uttereth her words, saying, how long, you simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Folks, how could it get any better than that? If we respond to the Word of God, God said He would pour His Spirit out unto us. He will bless you and I will make known my words unto you. His words, folks, they're necessary to me. They're needful to my soul. Oh, the Lord has been so precious to me this past week. As I sit down and read the Word of God, it's been so special, so blessed. It's been so inspired to my heart to know that, see how God cares and how He loves us, and to the extent that He went through, that you and I can have this great, wonderful salvation and have a hope down in our soul of a life beyond this old world. It's wonderful what God has done. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. And I said this recently. Jesus told us to call no man a fool, but now I tell you, God has a right to say whatever He wants to say. And He can call us anything He wants to call us. And He called that man that was going to tear down his barn, He called him a fool, didn't He? He called him a fool. Folks, there's a lot of foolish people running around out there today. God is not afraid to tell us just like it is. He's laid it out before us in this Holy Bible, in the Word of God. He's not backward in telling us this is the way it is. You can trample on it, you can step on it, you can go back on it, you can forsake it, you can go to the side or one side or the other, but this is the way it is because God said. He governs the whole world, and we cannot see the reasons of His conduct because we stand around and look at what's going on and we say, why? Why? People saying that today out in the world. Why? If there's a God, why did He let this happen? If there's a God, why did He let that happen? Folks, believe me, there is a God today. And He is divine providence. Man, here's part of the problem. Man is so totally absorbed and saturated with the desires and the pleasures and the ambitions of his own flesh that it cannot see the danger signs along the road. Can't see them. Doesn't recognize them. Doesn't understand the seriousness of it all. The brother prayed in his prayer just a little while ago, Lord, help people to see the seriousness. It is serious. The most serious thing I ever have to deal with in life. It's very serious. People are so totally absorbed and saturated with the desires and the pleasures and the cares of life and ambitions and satisfying the flesh. They can't see God. Lord, help us, you and I. And we'll not get caught up in that trap. That's a trap the enemy has set for souls. God allows people to do this. God allows people to take the way they want to take. But you and I are supposed to deal with it in the right way. He's given us His Word to teach us how to deal with it. Look at the verse 7 here. Same chapter. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's the beginning of understanding, folks. Knowledge. Knowledge about what? Knowledge about what's important. I know people that have so much in their heads of trivial stuff. You can ask them questions about sports figures. You can ask them questions about political things. You can ask them all these things. They got all this in their head. But when it comes to what God is requiring for their soul, when it comes to how God is wanting you and I to walk before Him, they don't have much understanding of that. But they got all this other trivial stuff. What I'm talking about today is not trivial. He said in verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain under wise counsels. A wise man is not going to say, I know that. I've already heard that. Other people will say, I know that. Folks, if we really knew it, we'd do something about it. If we really knew it with understanding, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Sin has so distorted man's concept of what God intended for man to be and what is acceptable to God, they've distorted God's concept of what is acceptable to Him. They have made their own way. They got their own thoughts, their own mind on what God says and what God accepts. And it's all deception to lead people astray. If you don't believe that people have no concept anymore, of what is acceptable to God. You look at the way folks are living today. Just look at the way they're living. Look at the world around you. Look at the mindset that people have today. Wisdom tells you and I that we must be holy. God told his children way back when, be holy because I'm your Lord, the Lord your God, am holy. It tells us that we ought to be holy, yet we get entangled and overcharged with this world and this life. Be careful. Saints, the devil's already got a lot of them out there. He wants you. He wants me. He's going to try to derail you and I in any way that he can. Be careful. Wisdom. Wisdom tells us that we ought to live righteous and holy before God, doesn't it? People don't even have a concept of what righteousness is today. They don't have a concept on that. People, and when I say that, I'm talking about in general, have lost their self-control. Self-control. Temperance is one of the virtues that you and I are to have. And we need to have self-control, folks. We need to be able to control this old fellow right here. And Paul says, I do this by what? By dying daily to self. Lord, help us today. Wise men. You want to be you want God to call you a wise man or a fool? I want God to call us wise men. Wise people. We'll hear and increase learning. And we'll listen to wise counsels. That's what he said. Do you know that controlling or bringing into submission our lust and desires is a major step in following the will of God in our life? It's a major step. When I bring self under control, when I submit to the will of God in my life, it is a major step in following the will of God for me in my life. Desires. See, this old flesh is our problem. Desires are contrary to righteousness. We can get passions and desires and lusts and wants and all the things that satisfies the flesh. Folks, they're contrary to righteousness. And the Bible tells us that we are to work righteousness in our own self and in our lives. Working righteousness before God. People don't understand it. They don't have get a hold of it today. I'd like you to turn or look at the second chapter here. In the sixth verse. The Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. You think you're wise? You think you're smart? There's been a lot of smart people come along in this world, but I don't know how wise they've been. I don't know how well they handled their intelligence. Because if they were truly wise, when they left this world, they were ready to meet God. That's a wise man. The Lord giveth wisdom. Your understanding, your wisdom, all the reasoning power and ability that you and I have pales so greatly to God's wisdom, doesn't it? God's wisdom. We can look up and say, Lord, why? But folks, it's divine providence. I want to submit all into his hands. The song says, his way is best. I truly believe his way is best. I don't have to know and understand. The old flesh, I want to know. I want to understand why. I may even ask God why. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and he went to the Lord three different times for the Lord to take it away. God said, my grace is sufficient. Why? But Lord, why? The Lord knows what it's going to take to get you and me to heaven, folks. And that's what he's really interested in, is to get you and I to heaven. Folks, I know you know this, but you and I are but a small people in this world. And I'm not talking about the visible people that we see. God's got people all over this world, but we're the smallest, still the smallest of all people. And I want to tell you, I want to remind you, you're surrounded by evil. You're surrounded by wickedness. You're surrounded by people that are lurking to try to find a way to get to you and destroy you in any way they can. The devil is busy. The devil's busy. Verse 7 says, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. I am so thankful that he does. Then he went on to say, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Do you know that God's conviction on our heart is threefold? Jesus himself spoke of this very same thing that we find in verse 9. Then shalt thou understand righteousness, judgment, and equity. What did Jesus tell us in the 16th chapter of John, verses 7 and 8? Jesus said that the Spirit of truth would come, the Holy Spirit, and he would convict the world of what? Sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. It's a threefold conviction that God has put upon our hearts, upon this world, upon mankind, that you and I are to respond to that by the through his Holy Spirit dealing and working with each and every one of us. Sin. He's going to convict the world of sin, of righteousness and judgment. And let me tell you something about that. He convicts the world of what sin truly is, not what man thinks it is. People got a different idea of what sin is today. As I've said before in the past, when you start going the wrong direction, you can take the Word of God and use it to justify anything you want to do. You can. You can take the Word of God and justify it. Or you can make the excuse, I know I'm doing wrong and I know that it's not right, but I ask the Lord to forgive me every day. Is that what the Word of God says? Is that working righteousness in your life? No, but that's what we've come to today. People don't understand the concept that God has given you and I. So they're making their own way. Well, how does that scripture say there's a seem right way? There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end of that man is death. The end of that way is death, folks. And that's where people are headed today. As sad as it is, as heartbreaking as it is to me, people are heading to death, eternal death. God convicts and exposes the world to what sin is, not what people are saying that it is. I read recently, don't know exactly how true it is, but I read it. It was from a reliable source. The Pope was talking to a gay man and he said, God made you that way and God loves you and God's going to bless you. How contrary can that be to the Word of God? How contrary is that? Our young people say, this is the way the Lord made me. I don't believe that for one second. I believe sin got in your heart, evil and wickedness, and you got involved in things that you shouldn't have got involved in, and it overtook you, and now it is controlling you. And then you want to turn around and you want to force me to accept it and believe that God puts His approval on it. He come to convict the world of sin, what it really is. And His Word convicts us today. We know that those, what they call alternative lifestyle, we know those things are wrong. And they're not of God. I don't care what the Pope or any other religious person would say. I know what the Bible says about it. Don't we? We know what the Bible says about it. But because, see, here's where people come short. But because God has given us a free will, it's left up to you and I to respond to God in the right way. It's left up to each one of us individually to respond to Him in the right way. There's usually always a right way and a wrong way. And as God convicts us, He's left it up to me to respond to Him in the right way. But if the conscience, there's that conscience. You have a conscience. That conscience is very, very important to you. It's very important to me. I know beyond a shadow of doubt, because I've been there in the past, that I've overrode what I knew to be right and allowed something in my life, and my conscience pricked me until I got to the point where I just got so comfortable with it, so careless with it, and that I was just going to do it regardless, that I seared my conscience. And it didn't affect me anymore. That's where we are. That's where we are today, folks. How do you deal with this? How do you ask the Lord to send conviction upon a soul that doesn't have any conviction upon it and is convinced that how they're living is all right? And even God Himself won't force a man to follow Him, will He? You're going to have to accept the Lord. His dealing with your heart. You're going to have to respond to it. If a conscience is seared and you don't have any remorse, folks, His conviction will be of little benefit to you. His conviction. I don't know if you ever pray this way, but I pray this way just recently. Lord, let conviction rest heavy on the camp of the saints. Let it rest heavy on us. The devil's working hard to destroy the church. And as I said, many are choking on the word today and going by the wayside. They're giving up. They're getting careless. They're losing something. You know what they're losing? The fear of God. They're losing the fear of God. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of God. We must keep a God-fearing respect on our hearts in everything that we do. We must acknowledge God. That's true wisdom to me. That's true wisdom. That we keep a God-fearing respect on our hearts. Folks, we're living in a dangerous time. Very dangerous. Carelessness, the world coming in. And I'm going to put some of the blame on the ministry, myself included. We don't cry out against things like they once did, because we know that people are in love with some things the world has to offer. We don't cry out enough. And I don't want to stand before God and be guilty of that. So just a little piece right here. I want to say, be careful of amusements of this world. My understanding is there's folks among us in some places that have season passes to amusement parks. Why do we need that? Why do we need that? It's because there's something lacking right down in here. Something lacking right here. I gotta go to the world to be amused, to be satisfied, to have fun, to get joy, enjoyment out of my life. Folks, there's joy in the Lord. That's where the joy is. That's where the real joy is. People going to Disneyland, Disney World, all these parks around the country, you're just going there with the rest of the world. I never did care much for them, been to them a few times in the past. Do you know what you see when you go to them? Especially this time of year, you see people with all their flesh hanging out, don't you? Is that a godly place? No, it's not a godly place, folks. Be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And I know people don't want to hear what I just said, but it's true. And it's sapping the very spiritual strength right out of every one of them. They go to church, they have, their feelings are deadened, their conscience is dead, they're justifying themselves in what they're doing, and they're getting their pleasures and fulfilling their desires from the world, and they're not getting it from the proper source, which is Jesus Christ. We're losing it. We're losing it. I don't know, once the doors open, if we'll ever get anything back into the barn. But folks, it still bears a responsibility on us to cry out against it. And that's the only thing that I feel led, burdened to cry out against right now. But there's plenty more. The people are getting involved in, they shouldn't be involved in. Be careful of getting too close to the world, folks. Be careful of being relevant today. Relevant. Everything's relevant. Well, if you don't mind this, or if you, this don't bother you, or that, ever how you look at it, or however how they, be careful of being relevant. There's a lot of relevant things going on in our world today I don't want to be any part of. Don't be relevant. Be careful. Be on your guard. And you know, among us, I know this. Some folks have seen it. I've seen the Lord's dealings. I've seen the Lord working with people on needs that they have. Some folks are haunted today by the past because they neglected to respond to the threefold conviction of God. When the Lord saved you, He didn't take away your personality. He didn't take away your character. He didn't take away who you are, your identity. He gave you a new identity in Jesus Christ. But you still have the human to deal with. And as you go on following the Lord sees the needs that you have. Something that may keep you out of the kingdom. Something that may hinder you as you come down to later years in life. And the Lord works on that as you go along and hear the Word of God through the conviction of His Spirit. And He wants you and I to measure to it. Oh, I could name some names right now. People that have overrode, set in the counsel of the Lord, and overrode the conviction, and now guess what? Their minds are failing them. Now they're not able to reason like they once did. Got a phone call just a day or two ago telling me about a soul that I care very deeply about in another place. And they told me they're out of the hospital now, but their mind's gone so far, they're not able to even reason. Can God reason with them? Well, they have a spirit, and God's a spirit, and I pray they'll have mercy. But I've seen that very individual go to the altar time and time again and leave that altar the same way that they got there. Because they wasn't willing to let something go. They wasn't willing to deal with it. And now, they don't even know where they are. Their minds are that far gone. Folks, the devil has all kinds of ways to get to you and I. But I want to, and I'm talking to a few of the older folks here this morning, me being one of them, I want to tell you, as God deals with you and shows you a need, take care of it while you still have your right mind. While you're still able to take care of it, take care of it. You keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. You'll be like this poor soul I'm talking about that's not even able to consider it anymore because their minds are too far gone. Some folks are haunted by the past through the neglect of responding to the threefold conviction of God. Folks, chances are God's not going to come along and write on our bedroom wall some night while we're asleep, wake us up. Chances are He's not going to do that. Chances are we're not going to have this great awakening experience from God because He's given us His Word, He's given us His Holy Spirit, and He's given us His ministry, ministers to preach it. And to be faithful to souls. God, that's the way God works today. That's the way He works. What did He say? Whenever Jesus was glorified, God come down there on that mountain and He said, "This is My beloved Son, on whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." Hear Him. That's what I sent Him for. That's what He came for. He came that we would hear Him, that we would accept the good news that He brought down from heaven. Lord, help us today. And something else that I feel led to mention before I sit down, and I've talked about this before, don't try to be diplomatic with the devil. Diplomacy is used by governments and businesses or whatever to try to avert some kind of a disaster or trouble or problem. And then you try to work, sit down and work it out diplomatically. Let's be diplomatic about this. You know, we'll trade off. You do this and I'll do that. You do this and I'll do that. You can't do that with the devil. You can't be diplomatic. You can't reason with the devil. Besides that, the war is already on. You're not trying to divert a war, folks. We're in the war. We're fighting the good fight of faith that we might lay hold on eternal life. I want to read one more little scripture here in Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, in closing, verse 3 and 4. A prudent man foreseeth the evil, and he hides himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. What did we read over there in the first chapter? How long, ye simple ones, will you despise wisdom and instruction? A prudent man or a wise man sees the evil and hides himself. Hiding in the shelter of his arms, folks. In the shelter of the Lord. But the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. It doesn't say anything about the pleasures of this world, does it? It says humility and the fear of the Lord. These are riches and honor. And this life that he's talking about is eternal life for everyone that has humility in their, upon their hearts in the fear of the Lord. May the Lord bless us today. Folks, we need a nation and we need a people that are willing to come back to God. Realizing, seeing the need, coming back to God. We've drifted. This country's drifted. It's in a sad state of affairs. And as I've said many times and heard many times when I was a boy, as the country goes, so goes the church. Drifting today. Let's stop the drift. Drifting means you don't have any power to control it yourself. We need the power that comes from God, folks. The power to stop this drifting. And the power to go, it takes a lot more power to go upstream than it does downstream. To go against the current. And you see the tide of the world. You see the current of the world. It takes power to go against that. To live the life that God intended for His people to live. The life that He supplied for you and I. All the graces of God, all the goodness of God, all the blessings of the Lord. The scripture says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. Folks, He has only good things in mind, designed for you and I. May the Lord help us all to be faithful, to be encouraged, be challenged, to be challenged by the Word of God. It is God's Word. Let's be wise men and women. Let's fear the Lord and follow Him in peace. Amen.